are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy Thursday afternoon. Recording this podcast a little bit late. And turns out that was a smart decision on my part. The Jeff Teague trade was just, now I guess not officially announced, but was reported by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. And that means that we can talk about that before we have to talk about Wolves Pacers from Wednesday night, which wasn't a whole lot of fun. And let's be honest, wasn't all that excited to talk about it. But now we can talk about a trade. Jeff Teague has been traded to the Atlanta Hawks, according to Woj. He's been traded along with Travion Graham for Allen Crabbe, the wing player for the Hawks. It is clearly a move for the Wolves that is all about roster balance and kicking the tires on a shooter potentially for next year, paving the way for roster space, perhaps more importantly, as the Wolves, of course, now, I say roster balance, they really only have one point guard, but it will set the stage for further roster balancing, I guess, by freeing up a roster spot. Allen Crabbe's a better player than Travion Graham. He fits the team better than Travion Graham just in the short term. And then in the long term, there's really no impact because all those guys are free agents next year or free agents in the summer. So we're going to look at this from every angle here in our first segment. Then we will talk a little bit about Wolves Pacers from Wednesday and then also what to look forward to here in the near future related to the trade market for the Wolves. We actually, just in our last episode this week, talked about the Wolves players most likely to be traded. I said Jeff Teague would get traded, my number one trade candidate for the Wolves, or candidate to be traded. And, like, I don't know, less than 48 hours later, he was traded. So there we go. So in terms of, I already listed kind of the three reasons why this makes sense. You know, allocating or finding shooters, you know, finding a perimeter shooter to add to this roster, creating a spot on the roster, and then also not taking on any additional money in the future. So the Wolves only have two point guards on the roster, seen as an issue heading into the season for a team that wanted to be in the playoffs. Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier were the only guys on the roster who were point guards. Napier missed a few weeks with a hamstring injury. The issue, the lack of a point guard, was further, I guess, underscored, and the Wolves had to rely on two-way player Jordan McLaughlin for a few games. That did not go well. Jarrett Culver played a lot of minutes at point guard. Andrew Wiggins ran the point for quite a bit as well. And the team did okay, actually, in Napier's absence. Jeff Teague was the team's, arguably their second best player over the first three or four weeks. As unaesthetically pleasing as his game often is, Teague is a solid NBA player. And while he doesn't fit the Wolves' current offense and how they want to play, he was actually having a pretty good year overall. And so in the near term, in terms of on-court talent, it may make the Wolves slightly worse. However, once Towns is healthy, once there's a second point guard and it's not simply Shabazz Napier and likely Jordan McLaughlin in the short term, this trade makes sense from a roster talent perspective. The different areas in which, not necessarily the positions, but the skill set that's distributed around on the roster. The Wolves are trading a reluctant, if you know, average, although reluctant, three-point shooter in Jeff Teague and a non-shooter and a solid defender in Travion Graham for Allen Crabbe, who's been known as a shooter throughout his career. He's having his career worst season from deep, but of course that's a small sample size. He hasn't played regularly as part of the rotation for a bad Hawks team, a team that's far worse than the Wolves. And so, you know, for a career, Crabbe is a 39% three-point shooter, despite shooting just 32.3% from deep so far this year. So the Wolves are trading a guy in Graham who can't shoot for a guy who can in Crabbe. The Wolves already have solid defenders on the wing who can't shoot in Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver. Obviously, those guys have much brighter futures and higher upside than Travion Graham. And so it makes sense to hang on to those guys to move Graham as part of this deal. Teague and Crabbe both have expired contracts this offseason, so there is really no impact in terms of salary. Honestly, it doesn't really, I don't get it from the Hawks perspective. I haven't spent a lot of time trying to figure that out because we're within like an hour of this news breaking. But there's no reason for them not to make the move. You know, again, nobody's taking on salary beyond this year. And, you know, it gives the Hawks another point guard, you know, to play behind Trae Young as well. And perhaps he's flipped. Perhaps Teague's even flipped somewhere else before the deadline. In fact, that wouldn't shock me. Of course, it's a homecoming of sorts for Teague, who played his first, I think, eight seasons of his career in Atlanta, or seven of his first eight, or first seven seasons, something like that, made an all-star team as a member of the Hawks at 1.2. So good for Jeff Teague to at least, I guess, go home. It's a team that's worse, but I'm sure that there's I'm sure it's positive in some ways for him to go to Atlanta. For the Wolves, again, it adds a shooter to the perimeter. The issue now is at point guard. Clearly, there's more moves coming. The Wolves can't simply just have one point guard and Jordan McLaughlin. At some point, McLaughlin's the number of days he can spend in the NBA on his two-way deal will expire. He doesn't seem like the sort of guy who's going to get a rest-of-season NBA contract. I would expect the Wolves they probably have a couple of candidates in mind or maybe close on a couple other fronts to land another point guard, or else they wouldn't have made this move. In the near term, expect McLaughlin to step up. If no other trades do come to fruition, the Wolves will almost surely sign a veteran guy or maybe one of those younger guys that has a little bit of upside, kind of like the point guard equivalent of like a Keelan Martin or somebody like that who's undrafted, has some upside, and the Wolves could try them out at backup point guard for the rest of the year behind Shabazz Napier. So expect there to be a move for a point guard. I don't know that it's going to be D'Angelo Russell. I don't know that it's going to be anybody in particular, but expect there to be some sort of a move that further balances the roster for the Wolves shores up the point guard spot. Again, in the near term, this is good for them in terms of their shooting capability. It doesn't hurt them. There's really no downside to it. Overall, a good move for the Wolves. It's not exactly what I expected to see out of a Teague trade, but clearly the market for him wasn't quite as robust maybe as the Wolves were hoping for, or else they would have hung on to him closer to the deadline and moved him in a deal for some picks or something like that. We don't know yet if there's any picks included. It doesn't seem like it. It wasn't reported yet, but because the move hasn't been officially announced, there's always some room for these things to change just a little bit, to shift. So I wouldn't be 100% shocked if there wasn't a pick, or if there was a pick involved. But at this stage, that has not been reported. I'll kind of put a bow on this and summarize it here in our very next segment. Before we get to that, though, I did want to mention, once again, our friends from MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, the middle of the NBA season, and the start of the conference portion of the college basketball schedule, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Are you tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, putting a bow on the Jeff Teague trade, long story short, summarizing what I said in the first segment, the Wolves made this trade to get rid of a player that wasn't going to be on the roster moving forward, acquire a player who is a three-point shooter, will improve the team this season, even if it's not, the team's not better, in tomorrow in Indiana when they play again and they're short a point guard. But once Towns is back and once the moves are all done, it'll make the team better this year. It will give some more, some more runway for the Wolves' new offensive scheme where they essentially are playing five out so much of the time and surround Towns with shooters once he returns. And Crabbe's going to provide that as a 39% career three-point shooter, a perimeter player that's going to eat up those minutes that Graham had been using and also probably take some minutes from some other guys who have been kind of on the fringes of the rotation. So it's a better move for the rest of this year. It gives, again, more runway to be able to evaluate the offense with some better context, again, once Towns returns. And then also it doesn't do anything to affect the cap space for the summer. If the Wolves wanted to, if they really like Allen Crabbe and they want to turn around and offer him a contract this summer, they can do that. If they want to spend that money elsewhere, they can do that. It gives them roster space. And perhaps this is the main impetus for the move, is that it's a way to shuffle the roster to improve the three-point, the outside shooting, and also free up a roster spot without eating any money, without waiving anybody, and without simply attaching a pick to someone to gain a roster spot. It allowed the Wolves to get out from under an extra body on the roster and free up some space to do some things, whether that be a one for two if they're trading out somebody like, for instance, a Robert Covington and taking two guys back, or somebody like a Gorgui Dieng and taking a couple of salaries back. It gives them some flexibility to do those things that we've spent a lot of this week talking about here at Locked On Wolves. So, gaining a roster space, gaining outside shooting, not adding any additional money, and then also freeing up a spot at the point guard position specifically for any additional moves the Wolves make. So provided there's no other, shoes to drop in this trade, the early returns it seems like a good setup, a good maneuvering move by Gerson Rosas in the front office. It's hard to give this trade any major. It's hard to really put a grade on this until we know how the rest of the trade season plays out. There's really no downside to it other than the near term of the lack of point guards. And no doubt this was discussed with the coaching staff before it happened. The Wolves, I'm sure, have some contingency plans in place. But interesting to see that first trade, and really the first major trade in the NBA in quite some time, go down. Granted, it's between two likely non-playoff teams with the Wolves and the Hawks, but still some big names being moved. Jeff Teague, Alan Crabb, and then also Trevion Graham going to Atlanta. So, that's that story for now. We'll revisit this again on Friday if there's anything else that breaks or anything else that comes to light in related to the move. One interesting note I did see on Twitter, I'll credit, John Hamm, Twitter handle John M. Hamm, for tweeting this. The Hawks traded Jeff Teague to the Pacers in 2016 and received Taurean Prince, who was then traded in 2019 for a package that included Alan Crabb, who was just traded now in 2020 for Jeff Teague. So there's a little bit of full circle there. Jeff Teague ultimately being traded for himself several years later. I have not fact checked that tweet, but it sounds right to me. Those names seem right. That timeline seems right. So John Hamm, who does not appear to be the John Hamm, the actor, great tweet. That's good stuff. All right. So want to talk a little bit about the Pacers-Wolves game from Wednesday. The Wolves did hang in, only lost the Pacers by 5. The Wolves only managed to score 99 points in the game. Lost 104-99. Of course, Karl Anthony Towns did not play once again. He was listed as out because of the knee sprain this time, even though Monday it was passed along that it was illness, not injury to his knee that kept him out. And Saunders was asked on Monday, I forget who the reporter was, asked him if it's reasonable to assume that Towns' return is soon, within the week, potentially. And Saunders said yes. So maybe that means Friday. We'll see. But Towns did not play Wednesday. There was a chance that Domantas Sabonis wasn't going to play for the Pacers due to injury. He did play, and he scored 25 points just in the first half. Only had 4 in the second half, matched a season high with 29. But Sabonis was a huge problem for the Wolves. Dominant early in the game. The Wolves' offense was actually operating fairly efficiently in the first half. Ran into some issues after halftime. Sabonis was really the only thing keeping the Pacers in the game early. They were struggling from everywhere else on the floor. Jeremy Lamb, Malcolm Brogdon had relatively quiet first halves. But Sabonis is really all they needed. And the Wolves took, I think, a 5-point lead at halftime. But then in the third quarter, the Wolves only shot 5 of 26 from the field. 19.2% from the field in the third quarter. They started like 1 of 13 or something. And I guess, making 4 of their last 13 was enough to improve that field goal percentage to 19.2%. So rough third quarter for the Wolves, but they still hung around. They were really within 2 or 3 possessions for most of the fourth quarter. Close enough, they were calling timeouts at the end and fouling and made things a little bit interesting. There were some weird, challenges and foul, non-foul calls that ultimately didn't really matter. But the Wolves hung around against a good Pacers team, and a Pacers team that was as healthy as they have been. They have Brogdon back in his second game from injury. Obviously, they don't have Victor Oladipo back yet, but a good Pacers team. The Wolves easily could have won this game, so it was a little bit frustrating that they weren't able to come out with the win. We're going to cover studs and duds. I'll start here with studs, and then we'll take a quick break, and we'll hit duds. The studs for the Wolves in this game, I mean, they really had only 2 or 3 guys that really showed up to play in this one. Robert Covington was the best player on the floor for Minnesota. He was hot in the first half, started really hot. I think he made 3 of his first 4 3-point attempts, attempted some, I think, 4 in the first quarter. Ultimately finished with 14 points, 7 rebounds, a couple of steals and a block. Played 31 minutes, 4 of 8 beyond the arc, 5 of 12 from the field. It's great on defense. He had several loose balls and deflections. He forced, I think, 2 jump balls in the game, including was called for a foul. And that sequence at the end of the game I mentioned a moment ago was called for a foul. It was overturned upon review to not be a foul. However, instead of giving the Wolves possession, they called it a jump ball because of the whole if the whistle blows, the play's dead and everybody stops playing, so you can't actually say it's the Wolves' ball. I get that. It was frustrating. The Wolves ended up with possession anyways and didn't score, so it ultimately didn't matter. But good game from Covington, really good on defense, solid on offense. He's really played very well lately, and is only helping whatever trade value. He already has very high trade value, but is only helping that value. And again, I'll take this opportunity to remind everybody that if you haven't heard me speak on the Covington topic over the past few days, I don't think he ultimately gets traded. But if he is, performances like this only help that stock go up. Another really solid performer for the Wolves in this game was Jarrett Culver. He had 17 points, another double-digit game. I think that's 10 in a row. I don't have it in front of me, but 10, maybe 11 games in a row for Culver in double digits. And once again, he was efficient, which is not something we have been able to say about him really at all this season until very recently. Even the first part of his streak of double-digit games, he was still shooting like 35-40% from the field. In this game, he was 8 of 13, 17 points, 1 of 2 beyond the arc. He's being really judicious with his three-point shooting attempts. He's only shooting them when he's wide open, and that served him really well. He had 5 rebounds, a couple of steals, only had 1 assist, but also only had 1 turnover in 31 minutes. He's not running the offense nearly as he was early in the year when Napier and Teague were kind of alternating absences for a while. Culver was the only member of the starting lineup with a positive plus-minus, had a +2 on the game. And outside of a couple of weird, he just missed a finger roll, left one short in transition. There was another weird miss at the rim. He shot the ball really well. 8 of 13 is awesome. And he easily could have been 10 of 13 if he hadn't missed a couple of layups. It really seems like he can get to the rim whenever he wants over the course of a game. And all with his length, his first step is very good. He needs to build up his upper body strength a little bit and, again, improve on finishing at the rim. But there were a couple of really impressive finishes in this game from him as well. I'm also going to include Kata Bates-Diop in my studs list. KBD had 15 off the bench. It was just 4 of 10 from the field, but he did hit 2 threes on 3 attempts and was a perfect 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Had 6 rebounds, 3 assists and a block, 0 turnovers. It was active, both ends of the floor, solid defensively, and probably the third best player on the floor for the Wolves in this one. So good game from him. Also, shout out Gorgui Dieng. Not going to officially give him a stud because he had a couple weird stretches where he really struggled, but his 15 and 11 with 3 assists looks nice when it's all said and done. His shooting struggles, he was just 7 of 15 from the field, which isn't awful, but missed all 3 three-point attempts, started to turn down some long-range shots. Jim Peterson pointed that out on the Wolves broadcast on Fox Sports North, that Gorgui gets into his head when he misses some long-range shots and stops shooting. But at any rate, solid game from G, given how bad some of the other Wolves players played that we'll talk about here in a moment. Solid game from him. All right, next up, we're going to talk about duds from this game. All right, duds from the Wolves lost to the Pacers on Wednesday. Andrew Wiggins once again leads the charge. This is his third straight game where he has been the number one dud for the Wolves. Second straight game, he scored only 10 points. His shooting was even worse in this one. He shot 4 of 13 from the field. Wiggins only had 3 rebounds in 32 minutes, 3 assists, and missed a number of shots in the paint, especially early in the game. He was out for much of the rotation with Wiggins lately has been kind of weird, where oftentimes he's on the floor and he's the only guy who can really create offense. He's oftentimes out there with the second unit. Occasionally that's Jeff Teague. Usually Teague or Napier, but, you know, guys like Noah Vonleh who aren't going to provide much offense. But Wiggins hasn't been taking it upon himself to do that, to create offense, to get into the paint. He's been settling for jumpers again. He did hit 1 3-pointer in this game, but, it's, again, regression, and who knows? I mean, every year there's excuses. There's reasons we can give for his regression. You know, maybe it was a fluke earlier in the year. Maybe this illness really threw him off. Playing without Tons obviously doesn't help. The Wolves haven't changed coaches. They haven't changed schemes. It's very strange. And you can't even point to the rebounding thing. He had 1 rebound the other night. I think that was 2 games ago. He had 1 rebound. Last night against the Pacers, 3 rebounds in 32 minutes. It's just not acceptable from a guy who's 6'8 and one of the probably 10 best athletes in the entire league still to have 3 rebounds in 32 minutes. It just doesn't make sense. So he's the number one dud once again in this game. And I included him on my list of guys who could be traded the other day. I think I had him number 5 on the list. Don't be shocked if Andrew Wiggins is traded. I don't think it happens. It's within the realm of possibilities and a million times more likely than Karl Anthony Towns getting traded, in my opinion. All right, the other dud, we'll call it in this one, is Shabazz Napier. Really struggled. It wasn't very aggressive, only shot the ball five times, making one in 29 minutes. 4 points, nine assists, but four turnovers in 29 minutes. Napier was obviously tasked with running the first team offense and struggled to do that in this game. Wasn't looking for his own shot as aggressively as he had in recent games, and sometimes has been over aggressive, but he's kind of swung back the other way. He was outplayed by Jeff Teague off the bench. Teague had 9 points on 3 of 6 shooting, 5 assists. Of course, Teague, he only played the 19 minutes. No idea whether or not that had anything to do with any potential trade that did ultimately go down on Thursday. But he didn't play as much late in the game when he was actually having a better performance overall than Napier did. But at any rate, Napier falls on the duds list. Nobody else to really call out there. Josh Okogie did play 22 minutes off the bench, but only scored 2 points. His 2 points was an awesome close to a poster dunk on the right baseline, was otherwise quiet. Vonleh had a good game, 6 and 5 off the bench. Nasrid only played 8 minutes. That was mostly due to the matchup and trying to play against Sabonis, who would have eaten Nasrid up if he guarded him too much. And also, even Miles Turner isn't a great matchup for Nasrid. But hard to give him a dud. It wasn't really his fault for not playing that much. But I guess if I had to pick a third one, it would be Okogie for just playing that many minutes and not contributing really anything to the game. And defensively, the Wolves were okay. The Pacers only scored 104 points. But late in the game, you know, Sabonis in the first half killed the Wolves. And then in the second half, it was a lot of Jeremy Lamb and Malcolm Brogdon from mid-range doing damage. And the Wolves just not doing a good enough job contesting those shots. It's a little bit of a deadly matchup because the Pacers are so good from the mid-range. They're second in terms of percentage of points from non-paint twos. The Pacers are second in the league. The Wolves' defense is geared up to allow non-paint two attempts, which is why the Wolves, partly, not the full reason, but partly why they've struggled so much against high-usage point guards who are more than content to shoot mid-range jumpers. So, at any rate, disappointing loss for the Wolves, losing by 5 to the Pacers. Now they go to Indiana to play the Pacers on Friday night in Indiana. That's a 6 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. So we will definitely be previewing that game on Friday morning, as well as discussing you know, any further fallout from the Teague trade, anything else we see that's out there that would have anything to do with this trade, and any other takes on it as well. All right, that's all we have for you today here at the Locked On Wolves podcast. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On podcast network. Remember, the Locked On network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.